you are now entering the world of blissful living, broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blissful Living Podcast. I am Rochelle Marie Lawson. You know me as the queen of feeling fabulous, and got a great show for you today. As you know, I always like to give disclaimers about before we get into the nuggets of gold that the guest is going to share with you during this show. However, if you've been knowing me for a while, you know that I do this out of love for you so that you don't miss anything and you have a little bit of time to take for yourself. So today's show is going to be talking about unleashing your presence, stepping into the power of your voice. And you definitely want to find a place to sit, get your favorite beverage, a pen, some paper, something to write with so you can capture the nuggets of gold, as well as, you know, tell your family to give you a few moments to just relax so you can absorb this information, because you're not going to want to miss any of it. And in the course of finding out about this show, the Blissful Living Podcast, it is always, always good to subscribe to the show. So if you haven't subscribed to the show and this is your first time listening, subscribe to the show so you get advanced notification of the guest. If you have listened to the show before and you still haven't subscribed, then shame on you, because you want to get the information about who the upcoming guests are so you can be prepared to get those nuggets of gold. However, if you have subscribed, then share the show with everyone you love and care about. And if you haven't subscribed, share the show with everyone you love and care about, because the more we can get this information out, the better it is that we can create a blissful life when it comes to wellness, wisdom, and wealth for everybody in the world. So while you're doing that, let me take care of some business. I want to thank our sponsors, Blissful Living For You at Blissful Living, the number four, the letter U.com. Go check them out. They've got some wonderful events. They've got a new community that has been unleashed. They also have some upcoming things that you're definitely going to want to know about, some insight, scoop, and connection, how you can get more exposure if that's something you're looking to forward to, or how you can engage with like-minded women. Then you definitely want to check out Blissful Living For You. In addition to that, they have things to help you with your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so you can step in and have the life of your dreams. You can check them out at Blissful Living, the number four, the letter U.com. Next, I want to thank All Day Cable Incorporated. All Day Cable Inc. is a premier woman-owned, minority-owned telecommunications installation company located in the heart of Silicon Valley, San Jose. They specialize in network distribution, installation, meaning your voice, data, fiber optic cabling, wireless access points, audio, video, speakers, you name it. However we need to communicate today, they can install it for you so that when you go to use it, you make the right connection the first time. If you are small, mid-sized, or large corporation, and you're looking for a premier telecommunications installation company that's gone on 34 years in business, you want to check out All Day Cable Inc. at alldaycableinc.com. Okay, so now you've had some time to get yourself together and get a little place to relax so you can absorb this information. And let me tell you about today's guest. Now, today's guest is Lori Smith, and she is a speaker, author, and intuitive public speaking and leadership coach. She helps sensitive visionaries, ambitious empaths, and loving rebels to speak online and in person and to be seen in order to fulfill their soul's calling. Now, Lori is the CVO, Caring Visionary Officer of Voice Matters, creator of the Vocal Presence Path, Method for Soul Speaking, and the author of Your Voice Matters, a guide to speaking soulfully when it counts. Her mission is to call forth more open-hearted leaders so they can do their part in the world with authenticity, creativity, and courage. Definitely a brave, bold, unstoppable gal. She envisions a world in which everyone shares their vibration of their soul's purpose through their voices, and together we reach global harmony. And I absolutely love that. Now, Lori can always see the soul underneath the static. And that's, you know, sometimes can be a real blessing for people that are gifted like that, which makes her really good at motivating people to fight their inner demons and find tremendous inner power. And so coming to Blissful Living Podcast today is the fabulous Lori Smith. Hi, Lori. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rochelle. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And I jump in, just jump right into this conversation because it's really good. Unleashing your presence, stepping into the power of your voice. What are the visionary leaderships that one must have? We're jumping right in.
The key traits that every visionary leader must have is, number one, they need to have a vision, a dream, an image of something that will make the world or their world a better place. Two, they need to be able to navigate creatively from the present moment toward making that vision a reality, which sounds easy. And yet I actually think it's much harder for us. Some of us are in the future and we're not actually aware or listening or connected to people in the present moment. And then there are others who are deeply studying presence, but if we're only deeply present in this moment and loving a bird that's flying by out the window, how are we going to change the world to make it even better? So it's existing in that kind of creative friction, that tension between what's actually here and being aware of it and accepting of it, while then also moving forward to create change. And then the third piece is what I've chosen to do with my life, which is visionary leaders must be able to communicate their vision in a way that inspires other people and calls them forth to join them on the journey toward making that vision real.
Oh, man. Wow. I like it. The last one particularly is very intriguing because I know that a lot of visionary leaders have difficulty with that, you know, using their voice in a way that emotionally and deeply connects to those that are, you know, meant to hear their words of wisdom. Sometimes taking it out of here and putting it into here, your crown chakra and putting it into your throat chakra. Sometimes there's a little bit of difficulty. So it's really nice to share what the must-haves are, because we'll talk about a little bit more later about how one can tap into those must-haves. But I want to ask you this. So, you know, we're talking about visionary leaderships and using our voice and speaking our purpose and connecting with the divine people that we're meant to connect with and help to amplify their lives. But this term kind of takes away from it, and it's industrial speaking. That kind of is a vision of back in the day, the old hospitals, like, you know, I want to say in Northern California, the Bay Area was Agnew's State Hospital with a mental institution for people, but it was very industrialized. Or you think of like Ford Motor Plant or General Motors Motor Plant, very industrialized. So when you say industrial speaking, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah. When I say industrial speaking, I mean the kind of speaking where the training for the speaking is delivered in huge rooms with tons of people in the room. It's a one size fits all kind of thing. Wear this, gesture like this, look like this, use this template. And my feeling is that it was appropriate for the industrial era. So speaker training programs that have their roots back in the early part of the industrial era, they were training, air quotes, leaders, what we would now probably call managers, for factory floors. So they wanted them to wear the same outfit, say the same things, look the same. And my feeling is those of us that sort of grew up with that kind of an image of a leader, it's kind of a mask that isn't us. that we might have been told to put on or trained to put on, but it's never felt quite right. That's not the same thing as a visionary speaker leader. A visionary speaker leader is someone who has their own unique style, and that is what gives them their presence or their charisma. If there's 8 billion people on the planet with 8 billion different fingerprints, there's also 8 billion different possible types of charisma. There isn't only that one that all look and sound the same.
You know, very interesting, as you was describing the quote unquote industrial type of vision of what we have with speakers, leaders, I had that vision in my head, you know, because back when I was a little girl, you would go to shopping, you know, I'd go shopping with my grandmothers and they would take me to get dresses. And, you know, we'd go to Stanford Mall and everyone in like Saks Fifth Avenue or iMagnums or Emporium, those stores back in the day, they all kind of dressed the same. They had like that, you know, little blue suit on with the little heels. And I mean, it didn't matter which department. And it's kind of, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I remember that. Or here's another very quite visual thing. Our presidents, they all seem to wear that navy blue suit with the white shirt and the red tie, you know, the power color tie. And, you know, it's very regimented, you know. And I thought, well, if I ever decided to run for president, I wouldn't do that. I'd come on there with a purple, bright purple dress, you know what I mean? Because I just, not to mix things up, but I'm definitely not in that industrial. So I'm more of a visionary person. And I think, and we shouldn't be afraid to be that way.
Yeah. The sentence that just popped into my head as you were talking is, if you want to change the world, you can't wear the outfit of the status quo.
You have to, like, you think of like the 60s when, you know, they start wearing the prints and the, I mean, I was a kid in the 60s, but I sure remember the prints and the clothing and the tie-dye shirts and the bell bottoms. And it was definitely against the status quo. And there was a lot of rebellious things happening, quote unquote, that the status quo thought was rebellious. But in essence, it was really good for our society because it helped us to evolve to where we are today. And we can have conversations like what we're having about, you know, visionary leaders and speakers and industrial speaking, what's the difference between and how we can evolve into what is truly our gift with the words we want to share as visionary leaders. So now I want to ask you, what's the link between the protective mask that people often wear and great speaking?
The link is, if we're wearing one of those protective masks, we're not stepping into the great speaker that we can be. And sometimes these masks that we wear are masks that, like, we used to wear in our lives, and in our daily life, we may have even moved past them. So I identified five in my work with clients: the porcelain doll, the heady hipster, the jiving jokester, the deranged mannequin, and the, now I can't remember which ones I've actually, oh, the peppy pleaser. So they get born because a certain part of our personality gets accepted. So if I'm a really kind person and kindness is actually a value for me, and then I get rewarded or even told, you should smile more. You're really engaging when you're bright and cheerful. I might put on this peppy pleaser mask where I'm only showing people the peppy part of my personality. And I'm not doing it for the sake of the people in the room. I'm not focused on the impact that I want to have. Instead, I'm doing this peppy thing because it's what I think I need to do in order to be liked. It's what I think I need to do in order to earn people's attention or keep people's attention. It doesn't mean that I can never have a peppy moment. The shift is sort of to focus on the impact that we want to have in the room, and then step into the full range of what is available to us. So Pepe might still be in there. And a lot of times if we're watching it, if someone is really kind of seduced by the Pepe pleaser mask, they'll be smiling and cheerful from beginning to end of their talk. And that doesn't create anywhere near as dynamic a ride as if we release that mask, allow it to soften and kind of reintegrate with all parts of us, and instead focus on the journey that we're creating for the people listening to our talk and allow it to be a wild ride like a roller coaster or a smooth ride like we're going river rafting in a really gentle river, whatever kind of impact we want to have. Oh, you're muted.
Wonderful words, wonderful words. As you were speaking, I was just, you know, visualizing. I've been to a lot of events. I speak, you know, a lot myself. And every person you describe as the speaking type, and I guess I would say the Pepe pleaser, I could bring them to my mind, right? It's like, oh, yeah, that, yep, that, yep, that. And I do believe everything that you say to be true, because I think when you allow yourself to be uninhibited by what you think, then you step into your real true essence of what your soul message is, and it allows people to resonate with you. And so oftentimes I think people get caught up in their head that they don't want to share anything that might be a little traumatizing or not happy-go-lucky. And they think that if they don't share that aspect, then people are still going to like them. But the problem is people seem to relate more to you. You're more relatable as a speaker, I think, in just my opinion, when you share the pitfalls that you've been in and how you felt, what it felt like and how it felt to climb up through that, you know, that tar to get back to just being even keel. It's not easy. And as a journey as a speaker or a business owner or a career professional, it's not an easy journey. But the more you're able to tap into what other people might be feeling, that they're wearing that Pepe pleaser mask all the time, the more you're able to connect with them and help them, you know, help them when all you're doing is trying to share your words of wisdom. So it's I love that. I love what you share, because I could see that, and I see that. Even when I'm not speaking and I'm sitting somewhere, the most impactful people are those that take off the shield and take off the layers of stuff that we've all been, you know, like you said, oh, you should smile more. Well, maybe I want to smile. Maybe my talk is not about smiling. Maybe my talk is about, you know what I mean? So it's amazing. Yeah. That's I think fabulous words of wisdom for anyone wanting to embark on speaking, teaching. You know, if you think back, I don't know about you, but when I think back in school, it could have been the most boringest subject ever. One class that I had in college was logic. It was like, oh, I had to take it because I had to take it, you know, but the teacher was so dynamic. The professor was so dynamic that he took logic. It became one of my favorite classes, and I got an A. You know, because it was like he was so dynamic, up and down and explaining, and you know, and so the whole class, you were either in or up, you know, you were in this on this wonderful ride, like a roller coaster in his class, and you actually retain the information. You know, So thank you. So now one of the things that I think that we should discuss, particularly when it comes to stepping into the power of your voice, is things that stop us and prevent us. And we kind of been talked a little, you know, scratched the surface with that a little bit. But, you know, there's these different people, the ambitious empaths and the loving rebels and the sensitive visionaries. So I want to take the ambitious empaths first. What stops them from fulfilling their purpose?
In a lot of ways, different versions of the same things stop all of them and all of us. Empaths, all of the types that I tend to work with are sensitive in some way. ambitious empaths. An empath is someone who is so sensitive, and I would say, AKA, so tapped in, that they feel things that other people feel. They might feel energies that other people feel. They might feel the emotions that other people feel. Some feel physical things that others feel. Like body workers tend to be ones that are tapped in physically. You walk in the room and they know where to go because they can feel in their body what is in pain in yours. And as we're growing up, we get taught that our sensitivity is a problem and we need to suppress it and hide it and make it go away. When in reality, for a leader, empathy is a superpower. To be able to feel what others are feeling, like you were saying earlier, it helps them to trust you because they feel seen in your presence. They know that you get them. And if you're asking them to do something for the sake of something greater, they're more likely to lean in and say yes because they've felt seen, because they trust you. For a speaker in particular, the ability to feel where the audience is at means that you can really take them on a dynamic journey, because it's almost like you can read the audience's minds and hearts while you are the one delivering a speech. If you listen to that level, which is also another superpower of the sensitive visionaries, the ambitious empaths, we're usually great listeners. So it's being able to listen to the crowd, noticing the looks on their faces, noticing the body language as it's shifting toward where we want to take them, and feeling the vibe in the room shifting as we speak.
You know, wow. Again, as you're saying this, I'm going and I'm thinking about the times I speak or I've spoken and how I totally could see that. I don't know if I would call myself sensitive or empathic, but I'm definitely intuitive. Mm-hmm. And I think being intuitive, it comes with all those wonderful gifts. Sometimes you don't want those gifts, right? But it comes with all those wonderful gifts, which really helped me when I was doing emergency room trauma nursing, because I could tap in and see exactly what was wrong with someone, even when the doctor couldn't figure it out. I'd be like, do this, right? I just knew. And they'd be like, how do you know? And I'm like, I don't know. I just know. Or even things in my own life, when something's off kilter, I just know it. So mm-hmm. when I speak, I tend to be really energetic. And I do take people on that roller coaster ride where I start off, they've got the energy going, and then I explain, you know, go into whatever my gift of what I'm sharing with them. And I take them on this journey, but I always leave them back up at a very high level. But if you pay attention to the audience when you speak, you can see what goes on. And it's in those subtle clues that they should do. They either sit back or lean forward or smile or on their phone. You know what I mean? It's those subtle things that if you pay attention, I will say you could course correct and take them to where you want to go. It's almost like if you're going down the highway and you see these signs, come road construction ahead, and you know, you're not really paying attention because you're on your phone. And then all of a sudden it's like the traffic is stopped. You're like, oh my God, I didn't even see this coming.
But yeah.
If you pay attention, you missed the detour that they told you, you know, back to take that would avoid it all that, you know, delay and the stop.
Yeah. So, speaking just like driving, if you're on your phone, you might crash.
Exactly. So it's kind of funny, like, you know, if you just pay attention. But I think sometimes people get so wrapped up in delivering their point.
Yeah. People are so worried about remembering what they're going to say. Yes. That another thing that makes great speaking is to treat it like a conversation. If I'm at a podium, most of their half of the conversation is going to be nonverbal or non-words. And yet, if we treat it like a conversation, it's almost like there is no course correction. If I'm sitting down, well, you and I right now are having a one-on-one conversation. We're listening to each other. We're responding in the moment. and we're doing more of an equal amount of talking. If I can translate that to being on a podium where most of your half is nonverbal and yet still respond to you as if every gesture, every smile, every tear, every moment where you stop to take a note is you speaking back to me, it changes things. And when speakers really get that, it starts to free them up, because instead of feeling like they're responsible for every single thing that happens in the room, they're coming with something they want to offer, and everybody in the room is responsible for how it goes.
Oh, and you know, absolutely love it. It's it is a beautiful journey. And I like how you say there's this dialogue, even if you're at the podium, there's this dialogue of conversation going on, even though the other person may be nonverbal. It's like, you know, if you have an elderly person in your family that no longer talks, but they still smile and respond, you know, they understand what you're saying and you're being impactful with them. They just are communicating to you in a different way, or somebody, you know, a foreign language or something. You're speaking in English, you're speaking in Spanish, but you get enough of each other where you're able to communicate, and it becomes a beautiful, beautiful journey and a beautiful gift. So now I want to ask you, what led you to do the work that you're doing now with regards to helping, you know, people step into the power of their voice and really understand the gift that they have and how they can share it better? What led you to do this?
In a lot of ways, my whole entire life led me here, and I'll give you nugget points along the way. At 7 years old, my mom found me in the backyard talking to myself. I had been playing Let's Make Up Stories from the Brady Bunch with some friends, and I had my hair curled to look like hers in the little pin curls. And kids being kids, my friends got bored with that game and went to the pool, and I said, okay, I'm going to finish the story. I'll see you later. And rather than, you know, getting the response of, what are you doing? Stop that. My mother responded with, huh, I think I'll take her to an acting class. And theater was my first spiritual zone. It was the first place, the light side of theater. We all know the dark side from movies and television. The light side is a group of incredibly creative, intuitive, sensitive people that are able to be deeply present with other humans in a way that most of the world isn't on a day-to-day basis. And so I was hooked. I was doing theater. And then in my late 20s, I was doing theater at night and working as an executive assistant in the Silicon Valley during the day, way too many hours of work overall. And I started having this calling to go toward living a more aligned life. And like so many of us do, I was resisting it. And then around the time where it was like I was feeling called but resisting it, I had an exercise in my favorite acting class ever where the whole class was focused on me. And I kept armoring up and putting on those masks in between these little vignettes. And the instructor said, Richard, my favorite teacher, whatever that is that you're doing, stop doing it. I'm asking you to go from where you are. And I said, I'm not that comfortable having everyone's eyes on me. And he said, well, you've picked a strange set of careers for yourself then. You're an actor, a teacher, a speaker, a leader. And I deeply trusted him. So I actively went back into the exercise, releasing the masks and the energetic armor. And it was like layers of protection were melting away. And at the end of the exercise, I could see and feel what kind of day every single person in the room was having. And that was my first moment of oneness that lasted beyond the acting. And shortly after that, I answered the call to go become a teacher, thinking I would teach theater. And then I was called by different people coming into my life, hey, this stuff shouldn't just be for actors anymore. And I was called to work with the leaders, the change makers, the visionaries, the ambitious empaths who are doing the work to change the world and make it a better place.
Wow. I love it. I love it. And that's a great, great ending to our time today, because it's just been absolutely beautiful having a conversation with you. Now tell people how they can get more of you or where they can find you and all that good stuff.
Yeah. The best place to find me is my website. It's voice-matters.com. And then if you scroll to the bottom, all my socials are there in one place.
Well, then you guys, you know, we'll have all of that information in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, Lori, for being a guest on the Blissful Living Podcast. I love this conversation. It was lighthearted, but very impactful and full of a lot of words of wisdom and nuggets of gold. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all of you viewers and listeners. I appreciate you more than I could ever, ever let you know. It's been about 14 years now that I've been bringing guests to you all. And so if you like the show, again, please subscribe to the show, share it with everyone you love and care about. It's this type of information and this conversation, types of conversations that do things to make the world a better place by changing us inside and allowing us to have permission to release the mask that we've been wearing so that we can step into our true greatness. So thank you, all of you. And I want to thank the sponsors, Blissful Living For You at blissfulliving4u.com, as well as All Day Cable Inc. at alldaycableinc.com. Until next time, I am Rochelle Marie Lawson, the queen of feeling fabulous. And I'm wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. And if you haven't picked up the latest copy of my book, 365 Days of Affirmations for a Year of Bliss, I highly suggest you do that. You can find it on Amazon, Balboa Press, or Hay House. Alrighty, until next time, have a fabulous day. And again, peace, wellness, and wealth. May it be yours for eternity. Goodbye for now.
Thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on Blissful Living For You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand and available for download 24/7 on blissfulliving4u.com. Until next week, may your life be filled with peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity.